I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday, the beginning of what's called the green season, or ordinary time, in the church year. Trinity Sunday is the only day of the entire year that's dedicated to a theological concept rather than an event in our calendar. And for my sermon today, I could try and explain what the Trinity is. I have preached that sermon. I have preached this Sunday a lot of times. But I'm not going to do that because it would probably bore you to death. Or I would get lost in the weeds and we would maybe get it wrong together and say some pretty complicated heresies. So instead, I'm not going to do that. I'd like for us to consider instead what mystery means. When was the last time that you encountered mystery and you didn't try to explain it or figure it out? And I wonder, do we have an appreciation for mystery in the life of faith? Are you interested in a relationship with our Creator that honors God's mystery? Or are you the sort of believer that needs to know every detail, every little bit of God's character before you sign on the dotted line? Just for a second, consider what it means to encounter the powerful mystery of God in our ordinary green season lives. Where is there a place for mystery in your life? So I was trying to think of a really good illustration for this, but I couldn't. And so I did what everybody does in this day and age when you can't think of something. I posted it on Facebook. And so I asked people to complete this sentence. There is nothing more mysterious in this world than blank. And I got about 60 different answers, both on the St. Paul's page and on my personal page. And some were very deep and profound, and some were hilarious. Things like, as you would expect, things like God, faith, and love were high on the list. Someone said, there's nothing more mysterious in this world than light overcoming darkness. I thought that was beautiful. Another mystery, how so many people read and interpret scripture and the Christian faith differently. And the mysteries of the natural world. My mom texted me and said, make sure you tell them about loggerhead turtles, how loggerhead turtles swim miles and miles in the ocean throughout their lives, and they still find their way back to their nests where they were born. How do they do that? It's such a mystery. Cliff Dossal had this really great natural image of a mushroom colony. Apparently, there's one out west that grows over several thousand acres, and it's all begun from one spore. We see the flower part, but we don't see the complex root system. And then the answers to my question got a little bit more in the weeds, got a little bit more caught in the ordinary stuff of life. What's up with people who don't like ice cream? Such a mystery. I think, Robin, you said that, right? The motives of teenage boys. Mysterious, yes? Posted by a friend of mine who's a mom of a couple of teenagers. How do you fold a fitted sheet? That's such a mystery. Can anyone do that? Well, one of my favorite answers, Hot Pockets, from Rachel Thomas told this. Hot Pockets, the thing, the lunchtime treat that you think would make a great lunch, put it in the microwave, it comes out lukewarm on the outside. It is blazing hot on the inside, burns your mouth off for the rest of the day. You can't escape it. So mysterious. And Shannon Wilson reminded me of a good one, the dryer, the clothes dryer. She said, I have no idea how or why it happens, but every time what comes out is never what I put in. There's always a missing sock. Where do they go? It's such a mystery. So I really liked Debbie Clark's answer, the human mind, which got me thinking a little bit about our unconscious minds, and it also made me think of dreams. Dreams are one of the most bizarre and unexplainable experiences that all of us have. We all dream every single night, even if you don't remember it. And it brought to mind a dream that I had just the other night. So for example, this dream, I was here in this church, and I was standing like right around here. All of y'all were here, and our St. Paul statue over there was painted bright red. And we were all kind of doing church and having our nice worship service, and we all suddenly turned and looked at Paul, and he was different. He was in disguise, and none of us knew when the switch had happened. It was really spooky and very mysterious. And I know that that dream was significant. I know that some part of my unconscious was pointing something out to me, but I have no idea what to make of it. There are few things in this world that are more mysterious than dreams or visions. And they're hard to relate to our waking lives. Have you ever had a dream and you tried to explain it to someone, but when you try and put words to it, it just doesn't come out right? It's not quite the experience that you had. You can't just capture it in terms of the waking world. It might actually be significant. It might be a glimpse into that unconscious mind. But when you try to describe and compare dreams to reality, our words just fall short. So that is the experience of Isaiah in our Old Testament lesson this morning. He has a vision that is indescribable. He sees God Almighty sitting on a throne and surrounded by seraphs, these huge winged creatures that were flying everywhere, and they were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." I learned as I was doing a little research about this passage that seraphs are kind of like snakes, but they have human faces and wings. And that sounds to me a little bit like a dream, doesn't it? I wonder if Isaiah had a hard time describing this when he wrote this story down. This is like some of the stuff that you hear in the book of Revelation, all these flying creatures and angels and these fantastical visions. And in the midst of all of it, there is God transformed. And he becomes something that is completely, totally unearthly. There's a book called The Idea of the Holy. It was written by a German theologian named Rudolf Otto. And in it, he talks about this very phenomenon, the completely, totally unearthly quality of God. We witness it in religious experience. He calls it the mysterium tremendum. And what he means is that when we encounter God, it's an experience of the total removal from all rational, ordinary, green season reality. But it shakes you at your core, makes you tremble with something kind of like fear. And kind of like a dream, it's really hard to describe in words. It's the moments in worship, whether you were here in a church service or you out in the world somewhere, it's one of those experiences that causes you to shudder and feel this great sense of awe at the magnitude of who you are worshiping. Otto says that the feeling of it may at times come as a gentle tide, pervading the mind with a tranquil mood of the deepest worship. Or it may burst into a sudden eruption up from the depths of the soul, leading to the strangest excitements, intoxicated frenzy, to transport, and to ecstasy. Now, does that sound like something that happens here at St. Paul's on a regular basis? Strange excitement? Intoxicated frenzy? Well, to be honest, yes, it does. We may not have people falling in the aisles here in our Episcopal tradition, but we encounter mysterium tremendum every week. We stand up and we sing every single week that we celebrate the Eucharist the same song that Isaiah hears. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. When we do that, when we say those words, those are the holiest words of our entire liturgy. Because at that moment, our prayer is directed to a God who is greater and bigger than anything we could possibly imagine. One writer that I read said that it is good reason that the Christian church sings this hymn of the seraphim before hearing the words of the institution of the Eucharist, in order to praise the coming of him whose glory fills and sustains the whole world, and from whose grasp no man can find a place to hide. So we cannot know that glory unless we acknowledge God's mystery. And yet, we are still ordinary, rational, green season creatures. We're always gonna wanna come to worship and know what we're doing and know who we are connecting to. We're always gonna wanna interpret and question and wonder about the nature of God. It's in our nature to be known, to long to be known by other people and by God. And so when it comes to living our faith, we often find ourselves frustrated, struggling to just simply make sense of our lives. And who here has not come to church with a concern or a question that you are ready to pray for? Something like, why did my beloved grandmother die? Why can't my friend stay sober? Why are there so many Christians in the world who claim to be Christians and then they turn around and hate their neighbors? I'm ready to pray for that, God. And I think there is a place in our prayers for that kind of dialogue. I think that God wants all of us, and that means the rational, green season parts of ourselves. If we're not bringing our full selves to worship, then we are not connecting to God Almighty in the fullest sense. But if that's all that we do, if all of our worship is just simply about getting answers to life's big questions, then we are misreading the true nature of God's presence in the world. If that's all that we do is just bring our petitions and our stuff, then we are just worshiping one tiny little speck of God. So instead of staying there, let's try and learn something from Isaiah today. Because he was just like us. He had questions too, and he was living in a world that was violent and hurting, just like ours. And he was bringing all of that stuff to the vision that he has today. And during all of this fantastical vision with flying snakes and God on the throne, he is given an invitation. He hears the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah doesn't even have to think. His just immediate response is to say, "Yes, here I am, Lord, send me." I think that every time that we encounter powerful mystery, we too are given the same invitation. God calls to us over and over again through the mysterious events of our lives and asks us to respond. So right now, consider your own mysteries. Think about a significant mystery in your life, a strange dream or a loss or an unresolved pain, someone that you love who is no longer there, maybe someone who's angry with you and you don't know why. Take that mystery and imagine yourself walking into that situation and pray this prayer. God, show me what you want me to see. Here I am. Show me what you want me to see. Mysteries are invitations. And we can look at them and shake our heads and roll our eyes and set them aside and ignore them. Or we can learn something from them. We can see what God is trying to teach us about his work in the world. And we too can lift our voices with Isaiah, who doesn't ignore the mystery and he chooses to engage with it. And we too can say, "Here I am, send me." In so doing, we are participating in the worship of God Almighty, the one whose holiness is completely unlike anything else, a holiness that enters into the realm of unfathomable glory. We're saying yes to the one from whom no one can hide, the unknowable, powerful God who sustains us, redeems us, works on us, brings us to new life day after day. And so, my friends, when we say yes to that God, that is the moment when we truly worship. Amen.